What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your host. I am your man. I am Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edor Zooming, coming to you here on April 30th, 2024. And boy, oh boy, that was a nice hold that I had right there, huh? That was a nice long little baby I had at the beginning. Oof! All right, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe so that you get more of those babies in your ear to wake up with in the morning or whenever you happen to listen to this podcast, because you will be notified as soon as it goes up, or you can listen whenever you like. Just make sure to hit that follow and subscribe so you are notified. And of course, if you feel so inclined to, leave a 5-star rating. If you were very impressed by my ability to hold that note this morning, please leave a 5-star. I appreciate it. It gets more eyes on the podcast and allows people to know what we are doing here. And of course, if you got something you want to say to me, if you are bored, you need somebody to talk to, or, you know, you just want to tweet some hype at me, want to tweet some Knicks hype, want to tweet some other type of hype, want to tweet sports, let me know about a movie. I appreciate that. You can do all that at ZooBeard77 on the Twitter machine, on the X machine, on the Elon Musk machine, whatever it is that you like to call it. That's where I'm at. So hit me up over there. But for now, let me talk to you. The Knicks must win tonight. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's game 5. It's the Garden. You're up 3-1. Win tonight. Get it done. There's no other excuses. There's nothing else to go along with it. This team is so much, you are so much better than this 76ers team. And you already got in their heads. And you already made them quit. So you cannot give them a lifeline. You cannot let them breathe. You have to keep that foot on their necks and stomp that thing out until you see the season end right there on the Garden court. That's what tonight is for the Knicks. Tonight has potential to be an unbelievably special night at the Garden. You have a crowd that is going to be out for blood from Joel Embiid. From the second he gets out there for warm-ups, they are going to be out for blood on him. This is going to be a crowd that is going to be going bonkers anytime anything happens with this Knicks team. Any bucket scored, a layup, inconspicuous jump shot. This is going to be one of those special types of crowds at the Garden. And if this team can match that intensity, oof, oof. Baby, this is going to be a bad, bad night for the people of Philadelphia, who have already had some pretty bad nights. You know, you look at Sunday, for instance, and you see how all the Knicks fans are chanting FM Beat as they're walking out of the stadium. And it ain't 5 Knicks fans. It's 10,000. It's more than half this freaking arena in Philly. They're chanting Knicks in 5. They're jumping around and they're dancing in the pavilion of the Wells Fargo Center. And they're putting jerseys on Wilt Chamberlain. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You know, listen. It was even so bad that Joel Embiid used it as an excuse. I can't wait to see what he uses for game 5 here tonight. And that's an important thing. We have to remember there is a game tonight. And it's the biggest game of the series. It's the biggest game of the season because this has to be the closeout. Because if you do not close them out tonight, and there is every chance for Philly to come back, there are so many injuries the Knicks are dealing with right now. It's honestly shocking, and what Philly has done has been continuously take out players. So both games in Philly, they injured somebody. Game 1, Mitchell Robinson. Game 2, Bogdanovich, both of which I do not believe are playing tonight. Bogdanovich, I definitely know, is out. But it's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's a pathetic organization that's going to try to do whatever they can to prolong this series, to try to get another home game in Wells Fargo Center, so they can kick it back up here for a Game 7 and a deciding Game 7 where who knows who else could possibly be injured for that, and also who knows what the state of this team would be after losing back-to-back games, one of which being at the Garden and both of which being potential series clinchers. I don't know. And honestly, if I saw that with Tibbs coaching, I would start to look at Tibbs too. This team is in a great spot, yes, but this team is in a great spot for a first round series. They're not in a great spot for making the NBA Finals. They're not in a great spot for winning an NBA Finals. They're in no spot to do anything like that yet. They're in a great spot for the first round. We need to remember that. And we need to remember that things need to get done. Tonight is the must win of this New York Knicks season. If they lose, there's every chance that you just allowed this Philadelphia 76ers team to come back into this series. I don't care that Embiid looks half, you know, half dead out there half the time. I don't care that you look at Maxey and he's able to get shut down. I don't care that none of the other guys on Philly have any semblance of consistency with their offensive game. All it takes is them getting hot for three games and Jalen Brunson having mediocre games and everybody on the Knicks going cold. You cannot allow even a shadow of doubt to be dropped into anybody's mind on this team, in the fan base, Tom Thibodeau, anybody. It don't matter. Every single person with this team needs to be in lockstep. And in order to continue to do that with no doubt in the mind, you must win tonight and leave no doubt when winning tonight. This is a Sixers team that is coming out and they are playing Joel Embiid tonight. They are playing every single person on this team that is healthy and ready to go. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll know if they're giving up. You'll know if the Sixers actually give up. And I know that's been a topic around this team the last couple of days. Are they giving up? Are they done? Are they this? Are they that? Are they assistant's ass? Well, I didn't see Joel Embiid marked out for this game. And I will promise you that if the Sixers were giving up and they don't care, or Joel Embiid gave up and doesn't care, then he would not be playing. That's a fact, because there is no shot in today's NBA that Joel Embiid plays in a Game 5 elimination game where he can get embarrassed on the road when he is injured. No shot. And he's injured, by the way. He is definitely injured with that lower body, with the Bell's palsy, whatever. He has multiple things that he could be put out with right now. So if you didn't see him on there at the start of the game, then you know Philly's waving a white flag. But until I see that, until I see him come out of this game and sit his ass on that bench, that's when I know that the Sixers have given up. That's when I know that the Knicks are in control of that game and are, I don't want to say safely, but on their way to a second round berth. And that's not here yet. And that could still be ripped away. That could still be taken away by the Sixers team because they haven't given up. They are still in this series. They are still doing all the things that they have been doing the entire time. Bitching to the refs and the officials. Bitching about this and that. Bitching about Knicks players doing something. Nick Nurse crying. You can't expect that to change tonight. But the superpower for the Knicks tonight is that Garden crowd. And I mentioned it earlier. This has the potential to be one of the most remembered games that we have had in Knicks fandom, in Knicks history, in a very, very, very long time. And not because there's some buzzer beater, although there may be. Not because there's going to be some sick on-court play, although there may be, and there probably will be a bunch. There probably will be a bunch of highlights out of this game. But because of this crowd, and because of how this crowd is going to sound throughout this game, oof. You're going to need to be locked in, because there's going to be so much going on from them. There's going to be a lot of chants. There's going to be a lot of screaming. There's going to be a lot of getting this Knicks team back into this game if they're feeling down at any point. And when the time is right, the Knicks are going to have an arena filled with people going absolutely bananas, making life hell for Joel Embiid, for Tyrese Maxey, for fat Nick Batum, for bum-ass Kelly Oubre, for that entire Sixers team. Hey, even Kyle Lowry with his Brazilian butt lift, he'll be out there getting his too from the crowd. This is a game the Knicks have to win. They're going to have an insane home court advantage. Insane home court advantage. They are going to have a team that is on the verge of quitting sitting across the court from them. You have to win. Jalen Brunson is the best player on the court at this point in the series. Jalen Brunson is the current MVP candidate. I know we keep talking about the reigning MVP with Joel Embiid, but Jalen Brunson is the current MVP candidate. Jalen Brunson is a current superstar in this league. Jalen Brunson is currently fully healthy, or at least as healthy as he could possibly be in Jalen Brunson world. But Jalen Brunson is out there dogging. Jalen Brunson is the best player on the court, as I said. When you have the best player on the court and the other team's best player is hurt playing, and the other team has nothing coming from anybody else on their team outside of him and Tyrese Maxey, you have to go out there and you have to win. And honestly, you have to do so in convincing fashion. I think the Knicks win this one huge today. I think this is the double-digit win. I think this is a blowout. I think this is it. I think this is where the Garden crowd takes over. I think this is where Jalen Brunson cements his name in the NBA as a superstar. I think this is the night. And the Knicks then set themselves up where they can go into the locker room, they can go out, they can go wherever they want, and they can watch the rest of that Indiana-Milwaukee game that will be happening after them tonight, and they will see who most likely they will be playing in the second round, most likely Indiana. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, and I said, we can't get ahead of ourselves. Look at tonight. Must freaking win. You want all of that to come true. You want a little bit of rest before the second round. You want to make a moment at the Garden that's going to last forever. This is a must win. Now go out and get it done. No excuses. No BS. About last night. Oof, there we go. I love the way that's sounding now. Starting to get a little thing here. Starting to get a little thing here with About Last Night. I'm liking it. We got a little musical portion of the show now. Maybe I'm going to have to write songs for y'all, but I don't think you're going to want to hear my voice singing to this early in the morning. But maybe some of you do. Maybe that'll help some of you leave that 5-star review and hit that subscribe. Appreciate y'all, but last night was an ugly, ugly night for both baseball teams in the area. I'm going to just start out with the Mets because Joey Wendell was kept on this roster instead of Mark Vientos for whatever reason. I guess the defensive versatility that he brings, but the man has no idea what he's doing. He goes out there and he costs you another game. This man is single-handedly losing games for the Mets. Luis Severino is dogging on the mound. He's leaving it all out there. He had a no-hitter going into the eighth freaking inning. Obviously, that wasn't Joey Wendell's fault. The no-hitter got broken up. That was Dansby Swanson's doing. But as the inning continues, what happens when Joey Wendell gets a hard-hit grounder right to him with a chance to throw the ball home and get the tying runner out at the plate probably by a mile and a half? What does he do? He flicks it over to second and tries to get a double play that had no prayer of ever happening. I mean, you're telling me now that he's supposed to be here for defensive awareness, for defensive ability, for his what he does with the glove. He's atrocious. The amount of errors he's made, and now mental errors that he's made, because that's not marked down as an error. No. That's a fielder's choice. But that fielder made a stupid-ass choice on that play, and we need to acknowledge that in the record books as well. Because this dumbass went out there and ruined what was a beautiful start for Luis Severino, what was a beautiful night for the New York Mets up until that point. You can get on them. Maybe they should have scored more runs. Maybe they should have done more. But you know what? No, you don't. Because Severino was dealing, and Severino got the ball that he needed in that situation. And the freaking guy playing third base for you doesn't have a brain cell to understand that that ball needs to go home. It needs to come right out of your glove, right into your hand, right home. That's exactly where it had to be. And instead, he makes a dumbass throw to second. Yeah, he gets the guy at second, but there was no chance to return that and get anybody out at first. So what are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing? I can't take it anymore. I complained about this guy a couple of weeks ago that he's still in this lineup and he's still getting playing time and there's no reason for it. And yet he still trots out there every single freaking other day. Or every single day at sometimes. Get Joey Wendell off of this team. Get him off of this team. He's not a good baseball player and he is hurting you. He is hurting this team. He's losing games. What he did last night was atrocious. What he did last night was atrocious. And again, you want to fight me on this? Edwin Diaz came in and gave up a 2-run home run, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Maybe Edwin Diaz comes in and just strikes him out. Maybe Edwin Diaz doesn't even come in because Severino is still dealing out there and has a couple more pitches in his back pocket that he can use. Maybe that never happens in the ninth inning because this guy, Joey Wendell, freaking did the job. He did his job properly, but no. Let's flick it to second. Let's try to get an inning-ending double play. That has no chance of happening. The Mets lose that one, 3-1, pathetic fashion. And to an even bigger issue, this is another series where the Mets are starting off with a loss that's now 3 in a row. I'm not sure where this team is going, but I thought they were going in the right direction, and I'm saying to you guys the other day, they cannot have another series, a third series in a row, where they drop the first two games, and then they win the last one, and we go, okay, well, you know what, they're getting on to the right point. No, they're not. They're not. They cannot lose tonight. This is a must-win situation for this team, and they blew it in a game that they should have had last night because Carlos Mendoza has decided that Carlos Mendoza and David Stern have decided that this man, Joey Wendell, and his whatever is more important than this team actually going out there and winning games. That's what they are telling you with everything that they're doing. That, hey, you know what? We get it, but, you know, Joey Wendell's the guy. Joey Wendell's the guy. No, he's not. He sucks. You put him in there for defense, and he blew it. Mark Vientos at least would have went out there and giving you a little something-something, and then giving you a little something-something at the plate. I know we went 0-3 last night, but it's still a bigger contribution than Joey Wendell, who lost you the game, who deliberately made a stupid play that he thought was going to actually work, and he gave up a run. On his own. That's a Joey Wendell run right there. That ain't a Severino run. That's a Joey Wendell run. Put it on his ERA. Put it on that bum's ERA. Jesus, it's enough. It really is enough. I can't believe they signed this guy. I can't believe he's still here. I can't believe at one point I was like, okay, you know, he's just a body. It's not a bad thing. No, this was a terrible move. This was a terrible move. And for this to be the guy that they love so much, that he is the backup infielder, it's pathetic. It really is pathetic, and it's gross. I don't know if anybody would be willing to trade for Joey Wendell, but if you do, we'll take a bag of balls, and I'll drive his ass to wherever you want him to go. I'm not even driving him to the airport, because we ain't spending money on this man to fly. I will drive his ass wherever the hell you want him to go. Let me know. I'll be there. I'm a chauffeur for Joey Wendell as long as he's getting traded. I never got to see his ass on Citi Field's diamond ever again. That's kind of the feeling you get when the Yankees are in stressful situations and when the Yankees are in crunch time situations. And it reared its ugly ass head again last night as the Yankees lose 2-0 to Baltimore in a game that Grayson Rodriguez, the young man for the Orioles, he gave you kind of flash forwards to what the next 10 years might look like with this Baltimore Yankees rivalry. I mean, this kid is good, and he's starting to figure it out at the MLB level. But the Yankees, their lineup, I'm going to just say it again, their lineup is too good for Grayson Rodriguez to be shutting them down at this point of his career. For that many guys to not understand the situation that they're in, like if you're up and there's a runner on second and there is nobody out, and you want to advance that guy to third base, you either got to hit a grounder to the right side of the infield, or you have to hit a fly ball to right field. You cannot just fly out to center. You cannot pop up to second base. You cannot take bad swings like that. You have to make sure that what you are doing is aiming that ball. And when you're a professional hitter at the MLB level, that's what you are paid to do. You're not paid to just go up there and freely swing and pray to God that the launch angle and everything that goes about it smacks that ball out. There's all these stats for exit velocity, this, that, you know, when it turns to the speed of the ball and all these types of things, and even the power that comes off the bat. There are no stats, I guess, for clutch. I guess there's no clutch stats that anybody actually looks at and anybody actually takes into account. I guess that's all just luck. I guess we view all of that as just luck. when it's coming to MLB. No, it's not. There are players that are clutch and there are players that are not clutch. And clearly, we have a team of players on the Yankees who don't understand situational hitting, therefore are not clutch. They can hit bombs, they can hit 40 home runs a year, they could drive in 120 runs, but they just do not go out and situationally hit to win ball games that are close, to win low scoring ball games. If you have their number, you have their number, and there's no breaking out of it for that Yankees team in that game. It's unbelievable, honestly. And I'm praising this team as they do 30 runs over two games and 36 over three over the weekend. And then they come out and they just get absolutely steamrolled by Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, and that's unfair to say because he didn't really roll through that lineup with ease. But you know what? Every time he got into a sticky situation, it wasn't exactly very hard to get out. Somebody on the Yankees would oblige him with a ground ball. Somebody would oblige him with a strikeout. Somebody would pop out. Not solid contact. Never. Just a little something. Just a dribbler. Just a weak ground ball. And just a weak swing and a miss on a strike three. That's what happens with the team when they don't know what the hell they are doing. When they are just going by one philosophy for every single at-bat that they take. That's a problem. That's a very, very big problem. And I'm not sure who in the Yankees organization is handling that, if that's an Aaron Boone thing, if that is a hitting coach decision, if that is a Brian Cashman decision, or some guy in analytics, I do not know. But whoever is making this choice needs to reevaluate what they are doing because it hasn't worked for the last 6 years, and it certainly is not going to work this season either. You cannot continue to do the same thing and get the same results. You just cannot do that. But here we are, in the year of our Lord, 2024, and the Yankees haven't changed a damn thing. I was trying to be hopeful with this lineup, and I still think this team is going to be the team representing the AL when it's all said and done. But Jesus, it is getting impossible to believe in a team that does not self-correct at any point of the season. Another shutout in the month of May for the Yankees, setting a team and franchise record for those in just the start of season, which is absolutely sad. It's absolutely sad. This is the quickest the Yankees have had this many shutouts in a season ever. Something's got to change, and quick. And quick is a way to describe that this series with the Islanders and Hurricanes has gone so far and feels like it's going quick, but the Isles have themselves an opportunity to go out there tonight in Carolina and steal themselves a game. Carolina, where they have played their best hockey of the series, and they can go in there and get a W and push this to game six. Oof, you're back home at UBS. You're back home with that Isles crowd, and you got an Isles crowd that will be showing up in big numbers for that one. I'll tell you right now, baby. And this Carolina team will not know what hit it. I will tell you that right now. This Carolina team, if you get them to a Game 7 back in Carolina, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. You get them to that Game 6 back in New York. Oof, oof. This is going to be a big series. Let's not act like there's no way for this Islanders team to get back. It's sitting right in front of them right now. They are that team. They showed you at the end of the season they can be that team that comes alive and does everything they need to do in order to get that W in the column. It's just another game here. It's just another opportunity to prove that to everybody out there and to shut everyone up about everything that they were saying in the beginning of this series, that this team is too old, that this team is too slow, that this team isn't able to put it in the back of the net, that this team just doesn't have chemistry good enough to win at this level, that they are just not talented enough. Enough. Go out there and prove it. They did it in Game 3, and they did it in Games 1 and 2, where this series was tight, and I get it. They got blown out at the end of Game 2. But you know what? They led that game with 5 minutes left. They led that game with less than 5 minutes left. And they went out and they, unfortunately, blew it like they blew so many other games this season. But, just like in the regular season, it's late on in the series. And it's time for the Isles to put up or shut up. And when it was put up or shut up time in the regular season, they put on. They went out there and they got themselves not only into the playoffs, but they locked up the 3 seed in the Metropolitan Division. They went out and they did some spectacular stuff down the stretch in order to get themselves in the playoffs. And yes, that might have taken its toll on them in games 1 and 2 as you got later into those, and even game 3. But it ain't going to affect them in game 4. It didn't affect them in game 4, I should say, and it ain't going to affect them in game 5. This is a team with too much pride. This is a team that I get Carolina is very, very good. But this is an Islanders team that has seen them a lot over the last couple of seasons. They understand them. They know how to beat this team. They just need to go out there and finish one of these games. They have played great in a lot of these games. And I get Carolina, again, taking 100 shots, taking 80 shots a game. They just fling it at the net and pray half the time. They're not good shots. They're just shots. That's who Carolina is. Carolina is very good. They are very talented. But they are also extremely overrated and overvalued. The Isles, there is no reason. No reason they can't win tonight. And I'm not going to say I expect them to win tonight. But I expect this to be a really good game. I expect this to be one where one goalie is pulled at the end. Maybe overtime happens. I just see this being a really entertaining and a really fun game that the Isles are going to be competitive in. And they are going to have a chance to win late. Will they come through? Well, that's up for them to decide. But you all need to be tuned in to that one tonight. You got Isles and Hurricanes. You got Knicks and Sixers, which starts at 7 tonight, people. It's not a 7:30 start. This is a 7 o'clock start. I know the last couple of games have been at 7:30. Just wanted to throw that out there. You got Mets, and you got the Cubbies for game 2 of that series, and a must-win for this Mets team. And the Yankees, who look to get off of a disgusting, disgusting month of April as they take on the Baltimore Orioles down in Baltimore. And I will be talking about all this stuff tomorrow. It's going to be another beautiful day here on the Zoo Yorker. So make sure you hit that follow. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Leave a 5-star comment if you feel so indulged to. And of course, hit me up on Twitter at ZooBeard77, ZooBeard77. Let me know what you're feeling throughout the night. Knicks fans, if you're in attendance, tweet me pictures, tweet me videos. Let me know what you're thinking. This is going to be a fun one at the Garden. Maybe one that will go down all time as a classic. At least for us fans. Oh, baby, I can't wait. Knicks in 5. Get it done. But for now, my good people, I must bid you all adieu. Peace.